a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. Pleasure to have you with us. Coming up in just a minute, Navinovskis has stepped away for a second, but he'll be back to give us some fish bites. We'll talk a little fishing. Some incredible numbers on the number of fish that were stocked in 2020 by the Division of Wildlife Resources. I can't wait to share with you. And the other thing is, just outlining, thanks to Randy Opplinger, some ideas for you to go and have a ice fishing experience that's not too far from home. So we'll look forward to sharing both of those things. And then I think Navi actually told us, Bob, that he was going to make a little change with his fly fishing class. So we'll sort all of that out when we get to Fish Bites coming up here in a minute. You wanted to connect us, however, with a client of yours, Jeff Naylor, who is up at Teton Springs Lodge and Spa. Tell us how this whole relationship started.
Well, I met Jeff originally at Grand Targhee Ski Resort back, I don't even remember how many years. It's been a long time. I met him there originally, and then he became the general manager at Teton Springs Lodge in Victor, Idaho, and just a fabulous resort. So Jeff and I have known each other for a long time, and he's a great guy, and he's still my friend, so he must be a great guy.
Come on, Bob. Everybody loves Bob. Jeff, good to have you part of the conversation.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having us.
For those that don't know Victor, Idaho, it's not that bad of a drive from Salt Lake. What is it, 4 hours?
Yeah, if you just come up Interstate 15, about 4 hours. And, it's a beautiful drive. And, we see a lot of folks from Utah playing up in this area for sure.
Before we talk about Teton Springs Lodge, back to Targhee for just a second. I know I've shared this story when we talk skiing here on the program over the years, probably more than once, but my worst day ever of skiing was at Grand Targhee, and it was because it was my first day. And my older brother, who, you know, God bless him, always thought that I was capable of doing just about anything he did, said he was going to take me to the top of the mountain at Grand Targhee on the first day, and by the time I got to the bottom, I would know how to ski.
and did that happen?
No, he's lucky I ever went back again. But I can remember, you know, getting up and falling down and getting up and falling down, and I was on some vertical that I should not have been on, first of all. Knew nothing about navigating moguls, and I would go around one and then hit three. And at one point, I landed on the back half of my skis with my butt and lost my poles, was too scared as speed started to pick up to fall over, and he's screaming at me as he's skiing down beside me just to lay down. But I need to go back to get rid of that memory, I think, at Grand Targhee. By the way,
yeah, that's the nice thing about Targhee. They're known for their powder. They average about 500 inches of snow a year. So,
and this jet stream, this high pressure, has actually been better to them snow wise than we've had down here, I think, this year.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's that sometimes when the jet stream does get like this, I think Targhee, their base right now is almost 6 feet, 67 inches.
Yeah.
So if you look at that in comparison to Montana, Colorado, California, Utah, it's definitely it's deeper than pretty much anywhere in the West right now. So yeah. We're all praying for more snow for sure for the West.
Well, you couldn't have found a more beautiful spot to get involved with this lodge than right there at Teton Springs Resort Village. Give people an idea of some of the activities that are available year round.
Well, I think that's the reason we see a lot of folks coming up from Salt Lake City is because of the outdoor recreation. You know, the mountain biking, hiking, the fly fishing on the South Fork of the Snake, the Teton River, Henry's Fork. We have a beautiful golf course here and several other golf courses in the valley. The Teton River is kind of a sleeper. A lot of people don't know about it, but becoming more and more popular for kayaking, SUPs. So for outdoor recreation, it has everything I think anybody could want when they come up to this area.
You told us before we started to have our conversation here that you have some media folks, I think, some riders that are there right now, and they're out doing some fat tire biking in the middle of winter.
Yeah, so it's become one of those popular things where all of a sudden it just kind of explodes, and, you know, it's a great activity if you're not skiing. It's not too expensive to get into, and you can, you know, it's a low profile tire.
Impact, yeah.
So you can ride right across the snow. Yep, and they groom trails specifically for the fat tire biking.
Have you tried this, Bob, by the way?
I haven't. I know they were doing that up at Targi when I was doing some work with them, but I never got a chance to go up and try it. But it's something that sounds like needs to be done soon.
Yeah, that rail trail that's up there around Park City, we were up skiing over the weekend, and there were a couple of people that were out on bikes. It looks like a lot of work, but it also looks like a lot of fun. And if you're the type of person that would get out and do cross-country skiing, it looks like you get about the same cardio out of it and would be something new to try. I don't know, when's the last time you were up at the lodge, Bob?
Oh, gosh, Jeff, when was I up there last? It's probably been...
Probably about a good 12 years ago. I think Susan came up for a little.
No, we've been up there since. I think it's probably been more like maybe you just don't... You got it blocked out of your memory.
I think it's probably the days and years go by.
I bet it's been 3 or 4 years.
Well, if you look at some of the things that are in your area with Grand Teton National Park, we already talked about Targi, Yellowstone National Park. There are so many things that you could use. Teton Springs is sort of your base camp to go do.
Yeah, and that's kind of the way we sell it to guests. You know, obviously on site here we have stock fly fishing ponds. The Bronze Buffalo Club provides an incredible golf course, Byron Nelson design. We actually have two golf courses here. We have the outdoor pool on site. But yeah, I think it's and that's exactly what folks coming from all over the country. Obviously, our international traveler stopped this last year, but we saw an incredible influx of domestic travelers who stayed longer and used, you know, Teton Springs as their base camp to go to Yellowstone, Grand Teton. You know, we sit right on the border of the Caribou Targi National Forest, so there'll never be any development to the south end of the property here. So, yeah, it's a special place to access the, you know, all that Yellowstone, Grand Teton, and Teton Valley has to offer.
Tell me about the heli-skiing that's available outside of the lodge there.
Yeah, so we're fortunate. In the lower 48, we are the only lodge and resort that actually you can walk out of the lodge and go heli-skiing. All of the other heli-skiing operations in the lower 48 are, you know, you'd have to drive to or so we work with High Mountain Helicopter Skiing. They're based at a Jackson Hole, but they have a helipad here, and they were just flying yesterday. It's about a 5-minute flight up to Palisades Peak and, you know, a couple hundred thousand acres that they have access to on the Palisades Range. So it's that bucket list for sure.
Yeah, that sounds like a hell of fun, actually.
we say hell yeah, Tim.
Just out of curiosity, what does it cost to do something like that?
So you're about $1,350 a day for one individual. And the nice thing about it with all this craziness with the pandemic is it takes four people up at a time. So they're able to, if you have a group of four people going, and then they do three flights, so you can be fairly well protected. So it's been very, very popular for people that want that experience and feel comfortable going with a group heli-skiing.
So you fly up, you ski down, you get back in the helicopter, go up three times?
It just depends on what they basically guarantee a certain amount of vertical.
Oh, I see.
So if you're doing some big runs, you'll get fewer runs. If you're doing smaller runs, a lot of it has to do with how the snow has fallen recently, whether it's wind loaded. They'll guarantee X amount of vertical, more so than a number of runs. But I've done it a couple times, and it's definitely something you have to do.
Wow.
If you're a skier, you have to do it.
It does sound like a lot of fun. All right. For people who want more information, it's TetonSpringsLodge.com. 51 lodge rooms, 9 cabins, 4 conference rooms, 1 swimming pool, 2 golf courses, and a partridge in a pear tree. Great to talk with you, Jeff. Thanks for giving us a little insight to what you do up there.
Well, thank you very much for having us on, and we hope to see a lot of your listeners up here this winter.
All right. And Bob, my guess is you also have a link from your blog site.
We do. We'll have more information about Teton Springs on our blog as well.
All right. We've got to take a break. When we come back, we will have that fishing information. Navid Omskis is going to be mad that he stepped away while we were talking about all the beautiful fishing that could be found up there at Teton Springs. But we'll talk more fishing close to home when we come back on KSL.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Papa was a fishing man. Papa was a fishing man. He loved his cars and his steel guitars. Papa was a fishing man.
Everybody sing.
Fishing man.
Fishing man. I would say I missed Russ singing, but I'd be lying.
I've missed me singing.
I know you have. I know you have. It's actually good to have you back, safe and sound. Not many people drive from Utah to Florida, but I haven't found anybody in my life that loves to be on the road more than you. And my brother's
really
a truck
it.
Driver. He doesn't even like it that much.
You know, we just do different things. We enjoy it, and it is monotonous. It is tedious. Crossing New Mexico, there is no good way to cross New Mexico.
Yeah.
And 550 is the road you go across from anyway, but we've learned to enjoy some of those places we didn't used to like.
Well, that's a lot of ding dongs and corn dogs. I'm just
telling you. I have to tell you, we could have done the snow report from Dallas, Texas.
Ooh, we had a call.
I was right in the middle of that going through.
Yeah, we had James on last week. He was telling us how unusual it was for the folks down there, and they don't like it at all.
It was unusual. They were all over the place. It was only like about 2 inches of slush.
All right.
And man, they were off the freeway where they were all over the place.
Navi's going to be mad at me if we don't talk fishing here.
Okay.
All right. That's okay.
I just want to throw out there were some statistics out from the Division of Wildlife Resources that they stocked 8.2 million fish throughout the state of Utah in 626 local water bodies in 2020. How about that?
That's amazing. That is a lot of fish.
That's a lot of fish.
Yeah.
That note came from, let me see. They were trying to put it in terms of pounds, and I think they screwed up on the press release what the actual weight of that many fish are. But
that makes more sense now, yeah.
Mark Hadley did make a correction on that. But anyway, that's a ton of fish. Let's talk about some of the best ice fishing waters that are listed here from the DWR this week. Of course, everybody knows about Strawberry, but Fish Lake makes this list, and I've talked to some people who have had great success and had a lot of fun, quite frankly, getting perch through the ice down there, and they have a fish perch tournament every year to kind of get people in the mood.
Yeah, that's fun, especially with the kids. My boys, there was nothing they loved more than bringing up perch through the ice, and they're delicious. Easy to cook, and they're definitely delicious.
Manaway makes this list, located in northern Utah in East Box Elder County. Perch and bluegill for the most part there, but they also have trout. Pine View is also here, although I don't know a lot of people that do ice fishing at Pine View.
Oh, that's my favorite. Pineview is a great fishery, especially for the perch, but you get a chance to get one of those, you know, tiger muskies. I mean, you know, it's a lot of fun. And back to Medaway, if you, there's a river that comes in from the east, southeast corner. And if you track the line that it would make underneath the ice and mark it, you will be able to catch the trout. Because the trout are actually in that line, which is on the bottom of the lake. It drops down a foot or two, and that's where they all lie. So if you want trout, fish in that stretch. But you want the bluegill, perch, other places.
I just think of the perch, the bass, and the bluegill as warm water species. But, you know, I guess they need to eat, too, underneath the ice, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, Minnesota, if you go up there, it's freezing cold, but that's exactly what you're catching. You're catching perch, walleye, bass, warm water species.
They were also talking about tactics there. The great thing about going after perch, they just love a worm on a hook. And as we used to talk about with Drew Cushing all the time, ice is sort of the great equalizer where you can get out where the fish are fairly easily.
You know, we used to go out on a sunny day with my wife, and she would get a lawn chair and the newspaper, and the boys would put on ice skates, and they'd skate around and watch their little line. It's a simple thing. You just drop it to the bottom, reel up two or three times, and you got one on. And, in fact, the best bait, nobody's talking, is the eyeball of the fish you just caught.
Oh, yes. We always get hate mail when we give that information. The eyeball of the fish you just caught. Matter of fact, I remember as a kid when we were fishing for bluegill that often just taking a little bit of the flesh, the meat from some of the bluegill you caught will be quite effective.
Absolutely. Scent is key, especially with those ice flies. It's hard to see down there. That's why you kind of like move it up and down where it gets their attention. But, yeah, you know, the perch eyeball from the one before, you know, the boys fight over it. You know, there's a couple of them, and they just catch them as fast as you can catch them. And then you also have your smelly jellies and WD-40, and those are legal, but they're illegal in Idaho and places. So just so you know your laws wherever you're fishing.
Yeah. To round out this list from Sportfish coordinator Randy Opplinger, Rockport is there, Echo Reservoir is there. Any thought on either one of those two?
I've fished both for this in the same way, too. Perch, but occasional trout, occasional rainbow is really fun to get through the ice. It tears up that tiny little rod, which is a whole lot of fun.
All right, I want to make sure you get in here as we wrap up Fish Bites information about your class, because you've made a slight adjustment, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, with the COVID, we have the school system and the vaccines being distributed among teachers. We needed to push back the fly fishing class because I want everybody to have their second dose before we open up the school. So I pushed it back to the 23rd and 24th of February. So normally we start next week with my winter class, but we're going to back it up a month. And I don't see that to be problematic because we try to end the fishing classes before the spring runoff. I don't think we're going to get any spring runoff, so that's not going to push us up against the wall. We'll be able to fish the river till June. That's my prediction. So the winter class, wildtrouts.com, it's going to be great fun, lots of fishing. If you get depressed in the winter, you need to get in this class because it'll teach you how to get out in the winter and enjoy the sunshine when the inversion's in the valley, catch a lot of fish, and change your life. So wildtrouts.com, and then if we can push a spring class after, we will.
All right, I hope you're wrong about that runoff. My hope is still that we'll have huge snow coming between now and, say, April 1st. You laugh at me for that.
We didn't have a runoff last year, so we'll see.
All right, there's your fish bite. Stay right there. When we come back on the other side, Roger Eggett will join us. I want to find out more about this Snowmobile Association annual ride that's scheduled for the end of the month. It'll happen at Bear River Lodge. Sounds like a lot of fun. Mother Nature going to help with some snow this weekend to make it even more fun. Stay there.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.